I'm sure we got some folks today that forgot to roll their clock forward, and that always happens. But I'm glad you showed up.
Amen.
Father, we pray that you'd bless the study of your word, that you'd give me the gift of teaching now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. And, you know, we've talked about this before. Jeremiah chapter number 44. And Israel is in, many of them are in North Africa. Jeremiah chapter number 44. They're in North Africa, and they are they're apostatizing. They're gone off in worship of the Queen of Heaven. Look at verse number 7, Jeremiah chapter number 44. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that you provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem? They've not humbled themselves, even to this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least to the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return to the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. God has shut them off and closed them out. You look at verse number 19. And this is the argument that they give back to the Lord. And notice their argument. Verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, and the cities of Judah, and the streets of Jerusalem. Now watch this carefully. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Then Jeremiah said to all the people, to the men, to the women, to all the people that were given him, that answer saying, and he continues on with it. And I'm going to spend a whole lot of time reading that, because that's going to be a springboard to go into what I'll be talking to you about this morning. The Queen of Heaven is Isis in North Africa, about 2,600 years ago. Isis. Isis is known by a lot of different names. And she's Diana the Ephesian. She is Ishtar. She's Astarte. She's Demeter. Depending on the culture, as to the spin that they put on her name, and as they adapt her to their own culture. But the bottom line is that the Queen of Heaven, according to the occult theology, brings forth the Christ Spirit, or the Anointed Spirit, or the Anointed One, into the world. That's what she does. She's pictured many times with an infant on her lap or on her knee. And this is why so many of the liberal theologians today say that the idea of the virgin birth of Christ is nothing in the world more than a warmed over application of occult theology that's been around for a long time. They never consider the fact that Satan is out there to lie and deceive the truth. The truth as he understood it in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 15. And what does it say in Genesis 3:15? I will put enmity between who? All right. Thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. All right. Now, we know that a woman does not have seed. So therefore, Satan is smart. He understood that there's something going to be going on that is supernatural, that is not common or not normal in the birth of the child that the woman brings forth. And so he set about to corrupt that. But not only that, but in Genesis chapter number 6, when the sons of God came down from heaven, they came down with wisdom and knowledge that men did not possess on this earth and have been the source of that for generations. Now, the Queen of Heaven in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 44 is Isis, which is North Africa. And 2,000 years ago in Alexandria, Egypt, the Queen of Heaven became Mary Magdalene, not Mary, the mother of Jesus in the Catholic Church. She's a front. When you see Mary, the mother of Jesus in the Catholic Church with the Christ child, that's a front. That's a facade. That's for public consumption. The initiates, the one who are high up in this thing, they understand that that's not Mary, mother of Jesus. That is Mary Magdalene. And she's bringing forth the Christ Spirit through a generation that follows. In other words, the bloodline, the Merovingian bloodline of the French kings and the nobility in Europe that claims to be able to go by all the way back to the house of David and trace their lineage all the way back to the house of David, which gives them a right to rule over the world. Now, I know you're getting into a lot of stuff with this, but this is the perspective that a lot of people have. They see it that way. And as I've said to you before, Dan Brown and his Da Vinci Code, the whole book and the whole movie was based upon the simple premise that there's a bloodline in this world that came into being with the union of Christ and Mary Magdalene, which, of course, is blasphemy. If you're a Christian, if you're a Bible believer, it's pure blasphemy. But now let's go back in history just a little bit. Let's go back into the past, into the distant past. And I'm going to bring up three places. One of them is Lemuria. It's called Mu. The other one is Hyperborea, which the Germans in World War II got all worked up over. And the other one is Atlantis. The Atlantic Ocean is named after Atlantis. Atlantis first shows up in the writings of Plato. And Plato talks about Atlantis being an island beyond the Pillars of Hercules. And the exact location of Atlantis is not known. But this is a fact. If you do a search on Atlantis, you'll find that a lot of people, I'm talking about scientific people, believe that there's a good possibility that Atlantis did really exist. And then, of course, you have those on the other side who believe it's all a myth and that Atlantis was no more than the figmentation of the mind of Plato. Here's one thing about Plato. He traveled a lot. He traveled to North Africa. So therefore, Plato was directly influenced by the thinking of what went on in North Africa. If you remember, I told you that North Africa 2,000 years ago was a hotbed of Gnosticism, Mithraism, Zoroastrianism, every possible perversion in religion you could imagine was going on in North Africa. And if you remember, I told you, 1947, when they found the Dead Sea, not the Dead Sea Scrolls, but the Nag Hammadi Scrolls. They found them, Nag Hammadi, which is in North Africa, and these are Gnostic Christians, so-called. And these Gnostic Christians were writing about a relationship that Christ had with Mary Magdalene. That was 2,000 years ago. And it was in these so-called Gnostic Gospels. So just to give you that as a historical perspective, you'd understand that North Africa is loaded with every kind of an occult theology you can imagine. And Plato had been there. Plato's about 330, 40, 50 B.C., somewhere along in there. And he had traveled there. He had been influenced by this. And so it's very possible that he picked up the idea of Atlantis from North Africa. You say, why is that important to me? Why should I care anything about Atlantis? Because of the story of Atlantis is that they were inspired by gods. That the wisdom of Atlantis was that these people were highly developed for their time, that they had advanced beyond the people around them, and they had a highly developed civilization. And something happened that caused their civilization to go under the water, to wind up being under the ocean. Now, can you think of anything in the Bible that put things under the water? Same with Lemuria. It's called Lemuria, or it's also called Mu, which means the mother place. And this was supposed to be located out in the Pacific. It's another place like Atlantis. It's a highly developed civilization that was affected by the gods above who brought wisdom down to them. But it wound up with the same fate as Atlantis. It wound up going under the water. It was inundated with water. So you can imagine from the Bible, did anything happen that covered the earth with water? Even the occultists, when they talk about Lemuria, they say, quoting the Bible, that a flood happened, but their spin on it is entirely different. They acknowledge that the biblical account of the universal flood, but they say that's simply writing from the perspective of the Jew, that what really happened in this place was that these people had ancient wisdom from the gods, and that in order to preserve this ancient wisdom, they had no place to put it, so they preserved it within themselves, within their structure, within their makeup, and that it became part of what they were. And they were able to pass that on to future generations. And one of the ways that they did that was that when the flood came, they went underground. And by going underground, they were able to pass through the flood and come out on the other end with all of this wisdom, this knowledge, this consciousness that they get from above. And that the occult world today, the greatest thing they seek after in the occult world, and I haven't seen a deviation from this at all, is that they all want to be enlightened. It's this great knowledge that they're going to get from above, this enlightenment. And that they have a spirit guide that is able to lead them and teach them and lead them into this path of enlightenment and knowledge. Now, somebody says, well, now, preacher, what's that got to do with us? It's got everything to do with you, because you're working with people that believe that. There are people in your family that believe that. You're going to go into churches if you visit around. You'd be amazed if the preacher get up in the pulpit. He believes that. You're going to find that today, 2015, we live in a world of semantics. And I mean semantics. What do you mean by that? He says God, I say God, his God's not my God. His definition, my definition, entirely two different things. His perspective and my perspective are entirely different. Therefore, when we try to communicate with each other, words don't mean what they mean one thing to me and something else to him. We can't communicate. That's what's going on today. You know that yesterday or the day before, the Presbyterian Church here in Tennessee voted to recognize same-sex marriage. It says commitment of individuals in a loving relationship or something. We all know what they're talking about. Okay. Yes. Exactly. But we understand the import of what it means. But in Thailand, just a few days ago, three sodomites were united in holy matrimony, or whatever matrimony you want to call it. Three. Well, what's wrong with that? If it's okay for two, why not three? I mean, after all, if we have five, why not five? How about five sodomites and two cows? I'm deadly serious. 35 years ago, I listened to a preacher who's a very intelligent preacher, and I've listened to, I've read a lot of his material and listened to him. He made this statement 35 years ago. He said, the day will come when they will have a sex act inside the church on the altar, right in front of the people, and the people will, through that, worship God. I thought he was out of his mind. No longer. I don't believe it. I don't believe he's out of his mind. He had it nailed 35 years ago. And this past week, I spent about 4 or 5 hours researching that one thing of the trend toward the sex in the worship service and the trend toward sexuality in the worship service. And you would be amazed at what's happening right now, this very minute, in churches all across the country and all across the world as they incorporate this. Why? ISIS. You receive the spirit of ISIS, you receive her worship service. And part of the worship service of ISIS is fertility. The fertility rites. It is the act itself, but it's the bringing forth of life and all that. I don't want to get too much into that right now because that's a future study. But just put that away in the back of your mind. That if you receive the Spirit, you receive what comes with the Spirit. If you reject the Bible, then you reject the Spirit of the Bible. If you reject the Word of God, you reject the Holy Spirit, because the Bible is written by the Holy Spirit. He authored the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit authored by the Holy Spirit of God authors the Scripture. You reject the Bible, you reject the Holy Spirit. You reject the Holy Spirit, then you're open to another spirit. This is why Paul warned the church. He said, if there's another Jesus or another spirit or a letter from us, you might bear well with them. Be careful because of what's coming your way. So the idea that man is here and that he has been planted here, that he's here because of a higher power and a higher intelligence, a lot of people believe that, but it's not the God that you believe. It's called transpermia. And the idea of transpermia is that they have planted us here and now they're watching us and they're programming us and they're nurturing us and they're communicating as they choose in the manner and the place and so forth with us. And that this is part of our spiritual evolution. And so when the church, the Presbyterian Church, and there's a lot of good people, no doubt, in the Presbyterian Church that voted against this stuff. They didn't all vote for it, but a lot of people in there, no doubt, love the Lord. But they've got a problem on their hands because their church is apostatizing big time. But the point is, this lady was interviewed on television. She said, well, now, how am I going to deal with all these people that come to me over at the university? And they have all this anguish of soul and all these problems. They don't think God loves them. And said, I have to minister to these people. And the way I minister to these people is to tell them God loves them unconditionally. And He receives you just as you are. And you're going to be okay. Just come on in. And that was the gist of what she was saying. So what have you done? You have rejected authority of the Bible and you have received the spirit of ISIS. And by receiving the spirit of ISIS, you're going to receive whatever else that comes with ISIS. And they're not going to be ready for that. Have you ever thought much about Revelation 17 when it says that a woman rides the beast? Now, the standard classical interpretation of that has been for years that it's the Roman Catholic Church riding the Antichrist. In plainer words, the two of them are joined at the hip. In Revelation 13, and that the day will come when the Antichrist turns against the Roman Catholic Church. Well, let me say this about the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not a defender of the Roman Catholic Church. They've got their problems. But the Roman Catholic Church is not the only ball game. Believe me, there's a whole lot more going on in this world than the Catholic Church. A whole lot more. And when somebody limits everything done wrong by the Catholic Church and it's all the Catholic Church, you're blind. There's a lot going on that has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. When these Presbyterians voted to do that, folks, that's not part of the Catholic Church. And what's going on in the New Age movement of this sexuality and all this stuff with labyrinths that's moving into the church, that has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. What we're seeing is what they call a paradigm shift. That's a major change from what used to be over to something new. And the people are sometimes just overwhelmed with it because they don't know what to think. Things are happening so quickly now. I've noticed that it has accelerated in the last few years. And it's just coming like this. It's just so fast. And you're going to see so many things happen. And the reason it's happening is because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So, Hyperborea, Atlantis, and Mu, as they like commonly refer to it, Lemuria or Mu, are three major civilizations that have vanished from the face of the earth. And the occult world writes a lot about Atlantis, Hyperborea, Lemuria, and other places. They write a lot about it. Blavatsky, the guru of theosophy, who through Annie Besant brought it into this country back in the latter part of the 1800s, had a lot to say about this. As a matter of fact, she wrote a book or a treatise, and it's called Isis Unveiled. Now think about the title. Isis Unveiled. Now where do they get all their wisdom? Where do they get all this stuff? See? Where does all this come from? Well, I'll tell you where it comes from. It doesn't come from God or the Bible. But it is a spiritual thing and has a spiritual source. And this is where we have to come back to our roots and to the orthodoxy of what we are and start preaching the book as it is. This is the only thing that 'll keep you right. This world is descending quickly into darkness. The religious world in America, folks, is a mishmash, messed up abomination that is unbelievable at what's going on. And the only way you'll keep your sanity and stay on the right track is to immerse yourself in the Word of God, in prayer, and go back to what our forefathers taught us. This book is inspired word for word. And that's the only way that you'll be able to combat what you're dealing with today.
That's
right. So, it's coming. And what you're seeing now, the culture, the church reacts to the culture. The church conforms to the culture. The church in America today is nothing in the world more than a mouthpiece for the culture around it. It has no effect. Church has no effect on the culture in America. The culture in America affects the church. It has no effect. None whatsoever. And so the culture in America, you have to be blind and ignorant not to be able to see where it's headed. It is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-home, anti-traditional marriage. It is anti. All these things, anti. Just the other day at UCLA, University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, this Jewish girl was a candidate to become part of some program they had there, some editorial staff or something. I forget what it was. But in any event, they had to vote on her. They had to vote on this Jewish girl as to whether it's to accept her or not. Four students raised their hands and voted against this Jewish girl. Why? Because she was a Jew. Where? UCLA. What happened from it? The staff was highly upset because of this religious discrimination against a Jew. It was totally and completely based upon the fact that she was a Jew. Now, let that sink in for a minute. Do you know why that happened? That happened because the Muslims in America have infiltrated the higher institutions of learning. The Muslims in America have infiltrated the government. The Muslims in America are infiltrating business and every aspect of your life. And never make the mistake. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that all they want is their fair share of what America is about. No. They will use your freedom to take your freedom. The day will come when they outnumber you, and when that day comes, your freedoms are gone. Go to the First Baptist Church in Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, for example. I invite you to. You won't find it. There's only one religion in Saudi Arabia, and that's Muslim. And that if you convert from the Muslim faith to the Christian faith, they'll cut your head off. And yet they are our friends and our allies. Now, Saying something like that in America, people have been brainwashed to the point of thinking, that preacher's brainwashed. That preacher's bigoted. He's bigoted. He's preaching hate. But it's not hate, friend, when young people, teenagers, start leaving their homes and they're signing up to go over here to fight with ISIS and cut the heads off of a little 4-year-old girls. They took an 11-year-old boy just two or three days ago and blew his brains out. 11 years old. Why did they do that? Because of the Quran and Hadith. That's why they did it. And you don't think they'll blow your brains out? They'll use your freedom to take your freedom and just observe it. I saw somebody the other day, they gave they used the principle of something like up until about 6%, until they have 6% of the population, they're very quiet, peaceful. From 6 to 10% of the population, they begin to voice their disapproval. We want our special treatment. We want this. We want that. From 10 to 15%. They actively get engaged and involved in the political process and everything that's going on. And then once it reaches a certain critical point, and I forget what that number was. I wish I had written it down. Is it 20? Once they reach 20%, it's over. They take control. Once they take control, your freedoms are gone. You ought to be thankful for what's called the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. No nation on this earth has ever had such a document like that, that we were born under, that was handed to us, and that has been trashed in the last few years. No nation. No nation. It's a wonderful thing. All right, let's get back on the lesson here. I'll get too far off if I'm not careful. And I don't want to do that. My problem is I've lived longer than a lot of people, and I remember a different America. I remember America which you could speak your mind. I really do. I remember America when you could speak your mind. You had freedom of speech. You don't anymore. They call it hate speech now. And anybody with an IQ 50, when they started talking about hate speech, had enough sense to realize they're going to shut you up and they're going to lock you up. All they have to do is define what hate speech is. And that day's already here. And it's already been in Canada for some time. Now, let's make some comparisons this morning. Who do we believe that Jesus Christ is? We believe He's God, don't we? We believe that. And by believing that, you're accepting what the Scripture declares Him to be. He is God. All right. Would you like to know what a witch believes? They don't deny that Jesus Christ lived. Here's what they say. A witch. Most Wiccans, that's a euphemism for witch. Okay, let's explain that. A Wiccan is supposed to be an earth religion, all right, that touches in with the spirit world and all that. But the term witch carries a lot of baggage with it. So they like to refer to themselves as Wiccans instead of witches. What's the difference between a Wiccan and a witch? The spelling of the word. That's the only difference. Same thing. Most Wiccans have a lot of respect for Jesus. This is by their own testimony. Despite our understandable wariness of the religion supposedly created in His name, Jesus Himself was a highly advanced spiritual person, a great sage and saint. He taught not only in the Middle East, it seems, but throughout India, where He is revered as an incarnation of the Buddha. Okay, now think about it. You remember all this stuff I've been bringing out here to you? I'm covering this ground, and I didn't put these words in their mouths. This is what they said. They said He is a highly advanced. What's that mean? Spiritual evolution. That's what they're talking about. That's what Buddhism's about. That's what Hinduism about. That's what Brahmism is about. The granddaddy of all of it. It's about spiritual evolution. Where do you get that from? Darwin. Darwin is biological evolution. You have social evolution. You have spiritual evolution. Evolution takes many different forms, and it is constantly forging forward to develop what it's supposed to be. You know, old ideas are past. They're old. It's outdated. And so we've got something. We've got to go into the new spiritual evolution. So the Wiccan says that they say Jesus was the one and only enlightened being rather than one among many sages. He is the only Son of God rather than a son of humanity like all of us. Now, this is where Wiccans disagree with Orthodox Christianity. All right. They disagree. We teach that Jesus was the one and only Son of the living God. They teach that He is a son of humanity like all the rest. In other words, He's just another man. That's what the witch teaches. They say that we Orthodox Christians teach that Jesus came to redeem us from innate sinfulness. Amen. Innate means born within you, part of your nature. Rather, they teach that He came to point the way to the divine. That's what the witch teaches. I'm not going to spend a whole lot more time with them because I've got others to cover. But you'll see a pattern begin to develop now. What do Buddhists believe about Jesus? Would you like to know what a Buddhist believes? Buddhism believes that Jesus was a historic figure. It believes that He was a deity. Some Buddhists believe that Jesus was a bodhisattva, a being who dedicated His life to helping all beings. Buddhists believe that Jesus did exist. They are not against any kinds of beliefs. They are open-minded and are willing to accept that there are other religions out there. Buddhists do not believe Jesus is God's Son. Many of them don't even believe there's a God at all. So then, preacher, what is reincarnation and karma if there's no God? You're God. What do the New Agers believe? It is a fairly common New Age belief that God is not anthropomorphized. That's a big, long word that simply means God is not like us. He's one of us. That it does not have some distinct personality. It could be called God anyway, or source, or divine, or other things. Christians usually describe their deities as having rather distinct personalities. Some New Age believers may specifically worship Goddess or call her by other names. It's very diverse. Most New Age believers won't believe in things like the Hebrew Bible being an accurate representation of things that their deity has done, or in canon Christian beliefs like the Nicene Creed and so forth. Many will still find metaphorical interpretations to be useful, or the religion as being partially correct. Some of them may take a somewhat more Gnostic approach and believe that the God of the Abrahamic religions is a lesser being than the true God or source. Others may simply say that it's that culture's understanding of God, so forth and so on and on and on and on. Here's the bottom line. The only one that I could find that denied that the Lord Jesus Christ ever existed was the Satanist. Anton LaVey, who wrote the Satanist Bible, states point blank, Jesus Christ is a total myth, that He never existed. But all the other religions embrace the idea, yes, He was here. Now, let me explain to you what He really was. The Christian take on it is completely wrong. The Bible is in error. But let me tell you who Jesus really was. And they put their spin on it. They don't even agree among themselves, but the fact that they agree that He was here shows you that they have to deal with the issue of who Jesus Christ was. One of the most important passages in the book of Acts is when this woman that was possessed of Python, the spirit of Python, She made her handlers much money by her spiritual intuition. She was possessed by a spirit of divination, it says in the New Testament. And the Greek word is pythonos, python, the snake. And she said, followed along behind the Apostle Paul and said, "These be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Did she say the truth? Absolutely. The problem was not what she said. The problem was where it came from. That was the issue with the Apostle Paul. Not what she said. It was the source of it. He would not let the gospel of Christ come forth from the mouth of a demon-possessed woman. So therefore, the gospel of Christ is not going to come from a Hindu. It's not going to come from a Buddhist. It's not going to come from a witch. It's not going to come from a New Ager. It's not going to come from a Satanist. It's not going to come from any source. The fountain will be pure. God gave to the Jew the oracles of God. To the Jew who wrote the Scripture. Through the prophets of the Old Testament. And therefore, the source of truth is not through the Gentiles. It's not through Americans. It's not through Italians. The source of truth comes through a Jewish Bible and a Jewish New Testament.
Amen.
Now that's, you say, well, that's bigoted and that's racist and that's narrow-minded. Tough.
<That's right>.
Sorry. There's only one Bible.
Yep.
The rest of it's garbage.
Right.
I can't believe I heard you say that, preacher. Aren't you open-minded? No, sir, buddy. Just like that. Shut as tight as you can believe. Closed. When God opened my soul, He closed my mind to this junk. Amen. Amen. That's called single-hearted. Or single, what is it? The eye. What did He say about the eye? If the eye be single, that's what He's talking about. The single eye is it shuts the rest of it out. One book, this book, and I believe it. I believe the Bible, folks. I believe the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, and this book is inspired from cover to cover, and this is God's Word to mankind. I believe that. I believe that. A lot of Presbyterians don't believe that. A lot of Baptists don't believe that. A lot of Methodists don't believe that. And on the, and on and on and on it goes. They had a there was a Baptist church over there in Raleigh, North Carolina. About 20 years ago, that had this professor come in. He gave a lecture, and he got up in front of the people, and he started talking about Christ was not virgin-born. He did not die on a cross and did not resurrect from the dead. And that, you know, there's just no such thing as a blood atonement. This is just all a bunch of Jewish fairy tales and all that. He said, we're here just like everybody else. We have to find our own way, and on and on and on and on and on it goes. And a Baptist church had him get up in front of them and deliver that garbage. Now, if a man got up here in this pulpit, got up here, and I didn't know him from Job's turkey, and he got up here and he started talking, you know, and then he got up in front of you and he said, "I don't believe in the virgin birth," I'd say, "We appreciate you coming by. We'll be praying for you. See you later, alligator." It's over. Yeah. Finished. You're done here. You go spew that garbage somewhere else. All right. So now, how much time we got left? We got 5 minutes left. I'm not going to get into this other stuff. Let me bring it one more time to you. How many remember the French cathedrals that were built in the 1200s? I remember I mentioned them last week. You remember the one that I mentioned that was Chartres? I don't know. Chartres. Anybody know enough French in here to know how to pronounce that correctly? I don't. I hope I'm saying it correctly. You know Notre Dame. Everybody knows about Notre Dame in Paris. Well, Notre Dame means Our Lady. But Notre Dame is not limited to Paris. There are Notre Dames all over France. Paris is the most well known. And it is Our Lady. Therefore, it is a Catholic cathedral dedicated to the Virgin Mary and the Christ child. Now, remember what I said to you earlier in the lesson. The Roman Catholic has the Virgin Mary and the Christ child. That's for public consumption. That's for the show. That's to be seen. But there's a whole lot more going on than simply what you see there is the Virgin Mary and the Christ child. For example, Chartres, the cathedral. Of all the other cathedrals in France, many of them are crypts. They have tombs. It is said that this one has no tomb, but it has an area underneath where they go in and they have special worship services. And they have what's called the Black Madonna or the Black Virgin. Not just there, but in a lot of places in France. And that it shows that the source of what they're doing goes back much further than Mary, Mother of Christ. That it goes back and predates her. That there's something going on here that is powerful. Now, how many of you have ever heard of telluric electricity or telluric power? T-E-L-U-R-I-C, I think it's spelled. Telluric. All right. I had never heard of it before. Until I get into this stuff and I saw the word pop up and I thought, well, what are you talking about? So I ran a reference on it. There is under the surface of this earth, depending on whether it be an inch or two or it could be feet, an electrical current running. That electrical current is moving under the surface of this earth. You can put a differentiation, a positive or negative pole, and measure the voltage between the two. This is a scientific fact that it exists. But it doesn't mean the same thing to these people. To an occultist, this current that's moving underneath the earth is a power point. It's like a vortex. How many of you know what a vortex is? A vortex is a spot of spinning energy. Now, I saw in Alaska two people standing. Here's a man, here's a woman. He's about 6 feet tall. She's about 5 feet. She's 5'8". 5'7", 5'8". So there's about a 4 to 5 inch difference in their height. Okay? And it's obvious. They're talking. They change positions. It is no camera trick. They change positions. He towers over her. And the reason this happened is because the man that is counseling them had this thing that was a vortex, a small one, and he laid it down at their feet. And it produced a energy that changed everything in your perspective and reality. That now he's towering over the top of her. It is one of these things that science has no explanation for whatsoever. It is there. It's a reality. But it can't be explained. The reason for this in the first place was the fact that Alaska, of all the states, Alaska has more people come up missing. Airplanes come up missing. People come up missing. Alaska is completely separate from the rest of the states in that sense. It stands head and shoulders above them. There's so much going on in Alaska that does not make sense. And this simple illustration, and I watched it, and I thought, good night. If you're not playing tricks with the camera, there's something going on here. Because in this other side, he looked like he was about 6'4", and she was about 5'6", or 5'5". He towered over her. But you turned him around again, and there's only a 4 or 5 inch difference in their height. That's a vortex. It's a power point. It's like a portal. The occult world is very, very interested in power, in power points. This is like the chakras, this Kundalini yoga. The serpent that rises up over your head. You've got power points in your body. This makes a big deal. This is a big deal to these people. And the cathedral in France, the Chartres Cathedral. You can go into that cathedral, and it is a concentration of this power point. And it has this labyrinth in the floor. The walls of this cathedral were built in the 1200s, but the engineering in those walls was vastly superior to anything else going on in Europe or around the world at the time. It's almost as if whoever built that cathedral had wisdom given to them that was higher than man's wisdom, that it came from somewhere else, and that this became the focal point of what's going on in the occult world. The Black Virgin, the Merovingian bloodline, and all of this stuff was concentrated. I would ask you to do this when you get home. Type that into your computer. Google it. Chartres Cathedral in France. And pull up what you find about that. And you will be amazed at what's going on. Because I only gave you a surface. There are points of the compass that come together inside that chair. Geometrical patterns that come together inside that place. And over France, the constellation Virgo constellation Virgo, with all the stars in it, you can find that when they built these cathedrals 2,000 years ago, it is an amazing thing how that you can superimpose that constellation over the top of these cathedrals. And where the star is up there, there's a cathedral down here. Where there's a star up there, there's a cathedral down here. Where there's a star up there, there's a cathedral down here. Somebody knew a lot when they built that. Somebody knew a whole lot when they built that. And Satan knows a whole lot, believe me. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeremy James, the Irishman over there. He's real good. He's real good. Jeremy James. Type him in and he'll load you up like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's a good man. Good Christian. He is smart. Jeremy James. Well, that's the point, capture the energy. Now, the telluric energy we're talking about, the telluric current, the electrical current that's moving under the surface of the earth. I don't know if there's a, you know, if they wanted to harness that or not. You're only talking about a few volts. I don't think it ever gets very high, maybe 3, 4, 5 volts or something like that. But that current, just type it in, T-E-L-U-R-I-C, telluric current, type it in, Google it, and you'll find out what it says. But remember, the occult world and the scientific world view it in two entirely different ways. That's what you need to be. You need to remember that. But it is. It's a reality. It's like the magnetic pole of the north. Anytime you pass a conductor through a magnetic field, that magnetic field will induce electricity into that conductor. That's called induction. And when that electricity is induced into that conductor, you'll have a flow of current. And every time you fire up your motor out there and start your car, you're using that principle. That alternator is generating electricity to charge your battery and run the car. So we've got a huge magnetic field around Earth, don't we? Yes, we do. We've got a huge magnetic field around the Earth. Pardon?
We've got a lot of
cars. Yeah. There's a lot going on. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. Brother Roger Lee, you dismissed.
Liberty, power, and don't you preach your word. Feed us, Lord. We need.